Welcome to First Baptist Church of Land O'Lakes. We're so glad that you're here with us this morning. Just a couple announcements here. We have a Senior Saints Luncheon. The sign-in is on the back table over there, just letting us know that you're going to be there. It's October 23rd at 10:30 a.m. in the Family Life Center. The cost is $3, so be sure to sign up for that as well. Let them just know that you're coming. We also have Awana Fair candy donations are needed. Individually wrapped pieces of candy for our kids that we're going to be handing out. We need them by this Wednesday, so if you can, bring them tonight. If not, and you want to still donate by Monday, Tuesday, even Wednesday before church, please go over to the church office. You can drop it off over there as well. But we are still needing some more candy for our children. Christmas in October, service and potluck dinner is next Sunday, October 28th at 6 p.m. Dinner to follow the evening service, and there's a sign-up sheet as well on that back table in that corner over there as well. So be sure to sign up, bring something for us, and we'll bring something for you, okay, to eat then. And then decorate for Christmas and October service. Sign up as well, again, on that back table over there, and just for decorating our Sunday in here. Make it look nice and pretty for our Christmas in October. And if you've missed out on anything just now, just go to that back table right after church today and just kind of look and see if there's anything that you need to sign up for. Thank you so much, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thanks so much for this morning, Lord. Thank you so much that we can come and hear your word preach. Lord, I pray that you would just please be with Pastor. I pray that you would give him the words to speak. Lord, I pray that you would just soften our hearts, Lord. I pray that you would just remove any distractions from our lives, Lord, and help us to focus on you, Lord, and all that you've done for us. Lord, we're so grateful and so appreciative of your mercy, Lord, of your love, and, Lord, most of all, of your gift of salvation. Lord, I pray that you would just please be with our leaders, bless our nation. Lord, keep us one nation under God and close to you. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you. Doesn't light your fire, then somebody said your wood is wet. Thank God for the victory we have in Christ today. And if you have your songbook now this morning, we'd like you to turn to number 571 and the choir opened with When We All Get to Heaven. And if you could stand with us, please, as we sing verses 1 and 4, When We All Get to Heaven.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. In the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
I do detect there are some good shouting Baptists here today. And let's take our songbook, move over now to 564. And the theme of our songs today is heaven. Are you going to heaven? Are you 100% sure if you died today that you'd go to be with God in heaven? There's a great reunion someday, not just with loved ones, but with the Savior in the sweet by and by.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the
our bountiful Father, verse 3.
To our bountiful Father above, we shall offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful
That sounds so good today, congregation. What a joyful, beautiful noise to the Lord. I'm going to ask the instruments to give us a chord, and we'll sing that refrain one more time, "In the Sweet By and By," just the chorus there. Together, a cappella now. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. And one more song, number 560 now, a few pages over, on that theme of heaven, also called the Glory Land. Singing verses 1, 3, and 4.
I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the Glory Land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the Glory Land. Just over in the Glory Land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over. Stand just over in the Glory Land.
Verse 3, what a joyful
thought that my Lord I'll see just over in the Glory Land, and with kindred saved there forever be just over in the Glory Land. Just over in the Glory. Just over the Glory Land, just over in the Glory Land, there with the host I'll stand, just over in the Glory Land. With the blood-washed throne, we'll shout and sing, just over in the Glory Land. Glad hosannas to Christ the Lord and King, just over in the Glory Land. Just over in the Glory Land, I'll join the angel band. Just over in the Glory Land, just over in the Glory Land, with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the Glory Land.
Will you take a moment just now and greet somebody near you today?
Just over in the Glory Land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the Glory Land, just over in the Glory Land, there with the the mighty host, I'll stand just over in the glory land.
Amen. Great spirit today. Great singing today. I just want to say a word about handbells. And we are taking all comers, basically. We'll train and equip you. So if you are a ringer, or if you know someone who's a dingling, sign them up or sign up. We'd love to have a good group of people that will help us form either an ensemble or a handbell choir and make a joyful noise to the Lord. Sign up is back there on the activities table, Pastor.
I want to welcome our missionaries, the Childs, over here somewhere. Good to have you with us. He's still doing some deputation, and pray for him, but good to have him having his wife with us this morning. We have a special prayer request for Homer Anderson. Homer's here this morning somewhere. Homer's having some heart issues. His right carotid artery has 99% blockage, and he's going to go to the doctor to get some clearage about having surgery on this, and he already has heart issues, so this is very serious surgery for him. So let's pray for Brother Anderson this morning, and also pray for our missionaries, the Conovers, and also the Lord's blessing upon this offering. Would you bow with me, please? I'll lift these up to heaven. Father in heaven, we are grateful that you're always there for us and with us. Your word tells us you'll never leave us nor forsake us. I pray for Brother Anderson, his situation with his heart. We know he already has heart issues and has now a blockage of one of his main arteries. I pray, Lord, that you give the doctors wisdom and the best way to treat this, and Lord, that you give him the strength he needs to be able to have this cleared. But nevertheless, Lord, we ask that you be with him, comfort him, and see him through this surgery. Father, we pray for our missionaries that are in Honduras. We pray that you'll bless them in the work there, the Conovers. We pray that you might use them in a mighty way to bring many to Christ. And Father, we pray now you'll bless upon this offering, that you use it for your honor and glory, that you bless both the gift and the giver that may be sufficient for this ministry to reach our community and ultimately our world for Christ. For us in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Shelburne and Mrs. Templeton. I think they hit all the keys on that keyboard. It's good to see children and grandchildren here. Mrs. Templeton, I see Evan and Jamie and Seth here. Welcome. It's good to see you guys. I want to give just a brief update. Several have asked me this morning about the trip last weekend to pick up the new bus. By the way, the new bus is parked out front here. If you'd like to take a look at it, we'll have the door open. You can walk inside and take a look at it if you'd like. Picked that up in Indiana and then headed just a little side trip up to see my mom in southeastern Michigan, just north of Toledo, Ohio, and decided, all the hurricane damage down in the panhandle, we might as well just fill this bus up and take some supplies down to them on the way. And so we put the word out, and the local news station, I think they showed that last Sunday night, came out and covered it. And it was a real blessing. A lot of folks in that area started out just with my sister putting something on Facebook for her friends and ended up being a kind of a community-wide thing. A lot of folks came out and started piling a bunch of supplies up in the bus, and we found out they needed some big things too. Ended up taking three brand new generators and chainsaws, fuel, gas cans, a lot of tarps for roofs. It was, and of course, a lot of supplies, paper goods, canned goods, that sort of thing. Just a lot of things that those folks are in great need of. If you haven't seen some of what they've gone through up there, Mexico Beach is really devastated, and basically three out of every four buildings is just totally flattened. Homes gone, businesses gone. And if you haven't seen some of that, it's really devastating to those folks, and of course the loss of life and those sort of things. With Mexico Beach, I was only able to drop off certain items that the National Guard and authorities wanted at this point in time, because at least when I went through, it was uninhabitable totally. And so we found another church in the Mariana area, a small Baptist church up there, that the pastor was willing to distribute. It's very very economically depressed area, a lot of poor people in that area, and so just great needs. I mean, trees down all over, and it wasn't, when we have a power outage around here, we generally see tree branches that fall on power lines and those sort of things, and really for about a 30-mile radius up there when I drove through, it was power poles sheared off. So it's not just rehanging lines, it's putting up all new poles and new lines and transformers, and just they're going to be without a power a long time. But people from, I believe, almost every state in the continental U.S. are up there working on getting power restored. So it's a lot of devastation. We estimated with the donations we received, as far as goods and money, as I was heading down, I kept getting texts or phone calls from other people that wanted to give. And so, through the day and through the night driving, I would drive for about 5 or 6 hours, and then I would stop and spend about $500. And then I'd drive for another 5 hours, and I'd stop and spend $500. And all the way from Michigan down to the Panhandle, we were able to stop and go shopping several times. And so a lot of the businesses down through there were willing to donate things also. So it was a real blessing. I think we dropped off probably between $4,000 and $5,000 worth of goods. The bus was filled about up to the backs of the seats, and then the overhead racks were all full of things also. So our first maiden voyage with our new bus was I think very beneficial and helpful to serving those that really need it. So just wanted to give you an update there. Take your Bibles with me, please, and turn to Revelation chapter 21. And I would ask, if you're able, to please stand with me out of respect for God's word. Revelation chapter 21, right at the end of your Bible. Revelation 21, and I'll read verses 1 through 5. You please follow along with me. Revelation 21, 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Let's bow in prayer together. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that we can study your word together in our Sunday school time, and then now as we come to the time in our morning service where we dedicate our hearts, our ears, and our attention towards the preaching of your word. We pray, Father, that you would use the message that Pastor Peterson has prepared to prick our hearts, to stimulate our thinking, and help us, Father, to walk out of here today more challenged to live a godly life. Lord, for those that have never accepted Christ as Savior and do not know that they have an eternity in heaven, I pray that they could hear today and understand today the gospel and how that you died to pay the penalty for our sins. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
I was really impressed with the choir. I didn't miss a beat when the lights went off. That was amazing. All I ask is that don't turn off the lights while I'm trying to sing. But I will miss a beat. This song talks about heaven, but it also talks about works. And I don't want to confuse anybody. It's not saying that God sees our works and that's why we go to heaven. It's talking about rewards. We're saved by faith without works involved at all. But it does mention works here. When I enter heaven's glory and I see my Savior's face, I will offer him 10,000 years of praise. Then I'll find that special one in whose life I saw God's Son. And through tears of joy, with trembling lips, these words I will say, I saw Jesus in you. I saw Jesus in you. I could hear his voice in the words you said. I saw Jesus in you. In your eyes I saw his care. I could see his love was there. You were faithful, and I saw Jesus in you. When I stand before my Father to receive my life's reward, and my soul is bathed in God's eternal day, when this race on earth is run, and God sees the works I've done, more than anything I long to hear my Father say, I saw Jesus in you. I saw Jesus in you. I could hear his voice in the words you said. I saw Jesus in you. In your eyes I saw his care. I could see his love was there. You were faithful, and I saw Jesus in you. You were faithful, and I saw Jesus in you.
Thank you, Tom and Debbie. Turn your Bibles again to Revelation chapter 21, please. Revelation 21. As you turn in there, I want to express my gratitude for all the cards and letters and emails I received about the message last week. I've been here 38 years, and I've received more recognition of that message than any other message ever preached. I mean, I've got emails. People say, Pastor, send me your notes, send me your PowerPoints. I had one card that says, Pastor, keep preaching it. He said, Pastor, what'd you preach on? I preached on hell. Of all messages people want to compliment and were grateful for, it was that one. So as a topic I preach on about once a year, maybe I ought to preach on it more often. But so many of you seem to be grateful for that, and I want to thank you for that and the cards you sent about that. There was a survey taken I referred to last week, a nationwide survey. They asked questions about Bible truths, about what people believe about the Bible. And the vast majority of people in America do not believe in a literal hell. But most of them do believe in a literal heaven. And according to the survey, they said they believe in heaven for two reasons. The first reason is because of feeling. They said they feel like there's something more than just this life. There's got to be a place people go to after death, so that because of their feelings, they believed in a place called heaven. Others believed in hell. I mean, heaven out of fairness. They said God has to correct the score here, and it would not be right for someone like Adolf Hitler and someone who is a dear, precious, godly saint of God to end up the same place. So they believe out of fairness, they believe in a place called heaven. But as Bible-believing Christians, we do not believe in heaven because of feeling or fairness. We believe in heaven because of faith, but faith in the Word of God. God's Word has a lot to say about heaven. I like the hymn we sang in Sweet By and By. It said, there's a land that's fairer than day, and by faith we see it afar. So this morning I'd like to talk about this wonderful place called heaven. I hope you have some notes there. You can fill in some paper. Let's talk about this wonderful place called heaven. I don't know about you, if I have to go someplace, I want to know all about it, don't you? And it's not that I have to go, I'm looking forward to going. And the Bible says, everyone who is trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, heaven is a guaranteed place for them. So let's talk about this wonderful place called heaven. And I hope you write this down. First of all, heaven is a prepared place. Heaven is a prepared place. Look in verse 2, please. Revelation 21, verse 2. And it says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared. There's the key. Prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. Notice here, when God brings this place down to earth, it's likened unto a bride adorned for a husband. One of the most beautiful sights I've ever seen in my life was when the doors opened, I saw my wife walking down the aisle on our wedding day. It was a custom many years ago that the wife, the bride-to-be, would not see the husband until the marriage, the wedding ceremony. I remember I was waiting there. I was standing there with the pastor and the best man. And then the doors opened. I saw my wife walk. I go, wow. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And by the way, I still do. I still feel that way. But anyway, notice here, this place is called prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. This prepared place, first of all, is foretold by the Old Testament prophets. Is foretold or predicted by the Old Testament prophet. Now, if you would, please, hold your finger in Revelation. Go now to Isaiah 65, please. Isaiah 65. The prophet Isaiah foretold this place, this prepared place for those that know Christ as Savior. Isaiah 65 in verse 17, please. Page 769 for those using the church Bible. And I want to encourage you, if you came this morning and did not bring a Bible, please borrow one of those in front of you beside the hymnals. There should be a copy of God's Word. Turn there to page 769 and see how this prepared place was foretold by the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 65, verse 17, please. Now, most of the scripture we'll look to today will be on the screen. I will quote, but many of them I'll have you turn with me. So please use your Bibles today as we talk about this wonderful place called heaven. Isaiah 65, 17, it says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But ye, But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. Notice what it says about this special place God's prepared. It said it's a place to be glad and rejoice forever. It said a place of rejoicing, a people will have great joy. That's that place prepared for us and know Christ as Savior. Foretold by the prophet, but also it was promised by Jesus. Go now to John chapter 14, please. John 14, page 1135. The special place prepared for those that know Christ as Savior was foretold by the prophets and promised by Jesus, our Savior himself. John 14, please, verse 1. John 14, verse 1. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to what? Prepare." Here's our word. "Prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So the Lord Jesus, before he went to heaven, said, "I'm going to go and I'll prepare a special place for you." It was foretold by the prophets. It was promised by Jesus. But I want you to notice everything will be new. Go back to Revelation, please. Back to Revelation 21. Everything about this place will be new. Look in verse 1, please. Revelation 21, verse 1. John said, "I saw a new heaven and a what? New earth." The word new has about new in quality. In fact, verse 5, and it said, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." Because it goes on to say that the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. Now, where did the first heaven, first earth go? When he comes down with this new heaven, new earth, the first one is gone. Where did it happen to it? Where did it go? And in fact, if you do not turn to Revelation 20, verse 11, it says this, "I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." So at the great white throne judgment, the earth and heaven's done away with. And so what happened to it? How did God do away with it? I'm glad you asked. Go with me now to 2 Peter, please. Keep your finger in Revelation, coming back to that. 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, God will destroy this heaven and earth on which we live. 2 Peter chapter 3, please. In verse 10, we saw that God creates a new heaven, a new earth. We're going to see, but prior to that, God destroys the existing heaven and existing earth. Heaven, I believe, refers to the atmosphere which we breathe and the planetary system which we see at nighttime. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be" what? "Burned up." God destroyed this earth once by water. He will in the future destroy it again by fire. And it goes on to say, because of this, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holiness, holy conversation, and godliness?" In other words, the fact that this earth will one day be destroyed ought to have an impact on how you live as a life, your life as a Christian. So many of us are so caught up, we give our time, our attention, and our finances to material possessions, and one day they're going to be all burned up. That's the reason Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves can break through steel. But lay your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, thieves cannot break through and steal." So basically, you lay your treasure in heaven by serving the Lord. But so many of us have no time to serve the Lord because we're caring for our material possessions. And notice that one day they will be burned up and melt with fervent heat along with this earth. So heaven is a prepared place. But also, number two, heaven is a peaceful place. Heaven is a peaceful place. Look in verse 4, Revelation 21, verse 4. One of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What's he saying here? He's saying all that brings hurt, heartache, misery, and pain in this life will not be in heaven. All that robs us of our joy and happiness in this life will not be in heaven. It'll be a peaceful place, because heaven, there'll be no sorrow. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no pain. There'll be no death. It is all passed away. It is a wonderful place, a prepared place. It's a peaceful place. Number 3, I hope you're writing these down. Heaven is a pleasing place. Heaven is a pleasing place. Notice in verse 6, please. First of all, we will have complete satisfaction in heaven. We will have complete satisfaction. In verse 6, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. This refers not to physical thirst, but a desire for spiritual blessings. Everything our soul desires and longs for will be fulfilled and satisfied in heaven. It is a place of complete satisfaction. But also, we will receive our full inheritance. Look in verse 7, please. He that overcometh shall what? Inherit all things. The word overcometh talks about our faith in Christ. In 1 John 5, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. It's our faith that allows us to overcome. So basically, he that believes, he that is saved, shall inherit all things. Keep your finger here. Go now to 1 Peter, please. You say, Pastor, I just found 2 Peter. 1 Peter, please. Page 1311, it talks about our inheritance as believers. When my wife and I die, our children will inherit that which we have. Won't be much, but they inherit our possessions. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a child of God, you inherit all that God has. And my friend, that's a lot. And it talks about it here in 1 Peter chapter 1. Look in verse 3, please. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively, literally a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Notice here, to and what? Inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved where? In heaven for you. So it's a place of full inheritance. The reason it's so pleasing, but also it's a place of deep fellowship. Look in verse 7, please. Latter part of verse 7. Here he says, I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Look in verse 3. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle, means the dwelling place of God, is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. It'll be a place of deep fellowship. It's a pleasing place because it has complete satisfaction, full inheritance, and deep fellowship. So heaven, number 1, is a prepared place. Number 2, a peaceful place. Number 3, a pleasing place. And number 4, heaven is a purified place. A purified place. Look in verse 8, please. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all what? Liars. Now look very please for any further. Now you may not have found yourself in this list so far. You say, Pastor, I'm not an abominable, I'm not a murderer, I'm not a whoremonger, a sorcerer, but all of us have lied. How many lies you have to tell to be a liar? It says, all liars, read on, shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth the fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now keep that in mind. Keep your finger here in Revelation. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, page 1216, 1216, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. It says very similar thing we read there in Revelation 21, 8. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, please. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Look what the Apostle Paul wrote. He said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Wow. It tells us what is not there. And probably, chances are, all of us have found ourselves in one of those lists there, at least a liar. Did you know that one lie will qualify you as a sinner and disqualify you from heaven? Pastor, how is anyone going to make it? Read the next verse. He said, "And such were some of you, but ye are what? Washed, but ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God." Notice he was speaking to those that were abominable, those who are murderers, those who are thieves, those who are sorcerers, those who are adulterers. But he says, that's what you were, but now you have been washed. How many are grateful for the blood of Jesus Christ? That makes the vilest sinner clean and pure before God. That's the reason people can go to heaven, because all of us found ourselves in that list. But I'm going to heaven because of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Been washed, been sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. So heaven, listen please, heaven is number one what? A prepared place. It's a peaceful place. It's a pleasing place. It's a purified place, and number five, it's a precious place. This is my favorite. It's a precious place. Look in verse 9, please. Revelation 21, verse 9. Heaven is a precious place. Verse 9, "And there came unto me," John was speaking, "one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come up hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, a holy Jerusalem." Now, when we think of that precious place, I want you to remember the letter S. First of all, remember the source of the city. John saw the city on a high mountain. I want you to remember the source. Where did the city come from? Is this something man built? Is this something man concocted, imagined in his own mind? What's the source of this city? I'm glad you asked. Look in verse 10, Latter-day verse 10. "The great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from" who? Underline that, please. The source is God. It's a city made by God himself. God is the architect. God is the designer of the city. If you would, keep your finger and go now to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. I want you to see the Bible has full of verses that deal with this wonderful place called heaven. Hebrews 11. Did you know the Old Testament saints look forward to the same place? It talks about Abraham, how he looked for a city. Hebrews 11, verse 10, please. Hebrews 11, verse 10. Page 1301, if you're using a church Bible. Chapter 11, verse 10. "For he," talking about Abraham, "he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is" who? So often we thought the Old Testament saints had little knowledge of the Bible, though they did not have revelations like we do, though maybe God told them, because he looked for, by faith, he looked for that city whose builder and maker is God. Verse 16, "And now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a" what? So this city we're reading about, Abraham heard about, looked forward to heaven and looked forward to being there because it was made by God. But now go back to Revelation. I don't want you to miss this. Where was this city built? It's not built on the earth, though it comes there. It was built in heaven. It is made by God. It is built in heaven. Remember Jesus said, "I go," where? To heaven. "To prepare a place for you." The city is literally built in heaven itself. Look in chapter 21, Revelation 21, verse 10. The latter part, it talks about this place. It says, "descending out of heaven from God." Notice it's in heaven, but it comes back from heaven. And in verse 2, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. So it's made by God in heaven, and he brings it back to the earth for us, this new earth, new heaven. So it's made by God, made in heaven. That's the source of the city. Now, look at the sights of the city. When John had this vision, I want you to see what he saw about the city. First of all, I want you to notice that he saw the wall around the city. Look in verse 12, please. Talking about this city. In fact, verse 11, it says, having the glory of God and the light of the, like a stone, most precious, even the jasper stone, a crystal. Verse 12, and had a great wall and what? High. Now, several things about this wall. First of all, the wall had 12 gates in verse 12. It said it had 12 gates. At the gate, please listen, there were attendants in each gate. Verse 12, it says, and the gates had 12 angels. So think about this. This had four walls. On each gate, each wall had three gates. There were 12 altogether. But each gate, there's an angel. There's an angel assigned to each one, maybe to welcome you as you go in and out, but basically don't tell why they're there, but the attendants of these gates were angels. But also each gate had a name. Look in verse 12 again. At 12, it said, at 12 angels, and the names written thereon on the wall were all, said, were are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So the 12 gates had attendants, had names, but also notice the location of the gates. Verse 13. On the east, three gates. On the north, on the north side, three gates. On the south, three gates. On the west, three gates. So many gates had attendants, the angels. But now notice the substance of the gates. Verse 21. Skip down to verse 21. And the 12 gates were what? 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. That's a big pearl, isn't it? Someone said, well, that must be a big oyster. But whatever it is a gate, and there's 12 of them. Attendant at each gate was an angel. The name on each gate was the 12 tribes of Israel, three on each side of the walls. So he saw the gates, but now notice the wall had gates, but also had foundation. Verse 14 had 12 foundations. Verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations. Also, the foundations had names. It said, in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So on each gate, the 12 tribes of Israel. On each foundation, the 12 apostles. And notice now the decoration on these foundations. Verse 19. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished, means decorated, adorned, with all manner of precious stones. And he lists them by name. The first foundation was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, a chalcedony, the fourth, an emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, a sardis, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, a topaz, the tenth, a chrysoprase, the 11th, a jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. Get a chance, look up these names. These are multicolored. What a beautiful city this would be. And so gates and also the foundation, but also the wall. What was the wall made of? In verse 18, it says, and the building of the wall was jasper. The walls are jasper, the gates are pearl. What color is jasper? It's a green, a beautiful green. So this is a beautiful place. And so when he saw the gates. Remember, this is the sights of the city. He saw the gates, had 12, saw the wall with 12 gates, with 12 foundations, but announced the street of the city. Look in verse 21, please, latter part of verse 21. He saw the street. The street of the city was what? Pure gold. Here's a question for you. What color is gold? I have a ring here on my finger. Wait a minute, it's gold. But what color is gold in heaven? Look at the verse. And the street was pure gold, as it were transparent as glass. In other words, the color gold in this ring is an impurity in the metal. In heaven, it is pure gold, as transparent as glass. I read a story of the day. This man was very wealthy. He was Christian, had a lot of gold. He wanted to take it to heaven with him. So he got to heaven with a truck and a trailer on the back full of gold. And the angel says, why are you bringing that? He said, this is my possession. I want him in heaven. He said, why are you bringing that paving material? Think about it. What are the streets they are made of? Pure gold. So he saw the streets. So he saw the gates. Now look at the light of the city. Now this is what John saw in his vision. The light of the city, verse 23, and the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did light it. In other words, the light is the Shekinah glory of God. Remember when Moses tried to enter the tabernacle and he could not because the Shekinah glory of God was too bright? That's what can light the city. And he goes on to say, and the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, is the light thereof. That's the light. So we saw the source of the city, the sights of the city. Now, the substance of the city. What is this city made of? Look in verse 18, please. The substance of the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. In other words, what is rare and valuable here is common over there. The streets and the city itself made of gold. The walls made of jasper, gates of pearl. So that's the source, the sights, the substance. Now, the size. Now, don't miss this. Look at me, please. So many Bible scholars spiritualized this. They said this is figurative. This is not real. But my friend, God gives us the measurements of the city. You can't measure something that's spiritual. You want to measure something that's physical. This is a real, literal place. God gives us the substance of the city. Now he gives us the measurements. How big is this city? Look in verse 15, please. The city is 1,500 miles in length and breadth and height. Verse 15, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, the length as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlong, which is 1,500 miles. The length, the breadth, and the height are equal. It is believed by many this is a giant cube. The length, the breadth, the depth, and also the height are all the same, 1,500 miles. But now notice the wall. He measured the wall too, the wall that's made of jasper. Verse 17, and he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits. That's 216 feet thick. So the city itself is 1,500 miles, breadth, length, and height. But the wall is 216 feet thick, according to the measure of a man. Now listen, please. Here's what Warren Wiersbe said about this. Warren Wiersbe said, the new Jerusalem is that city. Note that the city unites God's people of the Old Testament and the New Testament, Israel and the church. The tribes of Israel are named on the gates. The 12 apostles are named on the foundational stones. The dimensions and descriptions of the city stagger our imaginations. Four square means equal in all sides, which may mean the city is a perfect cube, a holy of holies, radiant with the presence of God. Or it could be a pyramid. In either case, the city measures about 1,500 miles each way, or two-thirds of the size of the United States. The beautiful colors of the gems suggest the manifold grace of God, mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. So please listen. Heaven is a prepared place. It's a peaceful place, a pleasing place, a purified place, a precious place, and lastly, it's a perfect place. Heaven is a perfect place. Look in verse 27, please. 21, 27. I'll read the whole thing. We'll come back to it. 21, 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it, this new Jerusalem, heavenly city. There shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. First of all, who will not be there? It said, no one that is impure, anything that defileth. Then it says, no one who does anything shameful or deceitful. Or it said, whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Look at it, please. He didn't say he that is a habitual liar. He that maketh a lie. Have you ever told one lie? We all have. He said, Pastor, I have, but I don't lie very often. It didn't say he that lies. He that maketh a lie. Please listen again. One lie qualifies you as a sinner. It's a transgression of God's law. Thou shalt not lie. But also one lie will disqualify you from heaven. But who will get there? It tells us the latter part of the verse. Who will be there? They which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Who's that? That's the believer. That's those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now please listen. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. A man dreamed one time that he stood outside the gates of heaven and he saw people trying to get in. One man knocked at the gate and a voice within said, who is it that seeks entrance into heaven and what is the password? And the man said, I am a humanitarian. And he said, what is the password? And he said, the password is charity. The voice within said, depart from me, ye that work in iniquity. I never knew you. Another man knocked. Who is it that seeks entrance into heaven? And what is the password? He said, I am a moral man. What is the password in heaven? He said, it is honesty. The voice said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Another knock. Who is it that seeks entrance into heaven? And what is the password? And he said, I am a religious man. What is the password in heaven? He said, good works. The voice said, depart from me, ye that work in iniquity. I never knew you. And finally, one came and knocked at the gate of heaven. The voice said within, who is it that seeketh entrance into heaven? And what is their password? And the man said, in my hand no price I bring, just simply to the cross I cling. And the voice said, open wide the gates and let him in, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever come to the cross? Have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? Not trusting your charity, not trusting your morality, not trusting your religion, not trusting your good works, not trusting your church membership, your tithing, your communion, confirmation, but trusting Christ and Him alone. Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. You know what the word looking means? It means looking away from everything else, looking on one thing. When it comes to heaven, please listen, you must look away from your good works and look to Christ. You must look away from your church membership and look to Jesus. You must look away from your baptism and your confirmation and your communion and looking unto Jesus. My friend, He is sufficient. He can save if you look to Him. And the Bible said, look and live. So my friend, heaven is a real place. It's a wonderful place. It's a prepared place God prepared for those that trusted Him. So as I close with this, have you ever trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Are you looking to Christ and Him alone and His shed blood on the cross as your only means for heaven? If you have, heaven's your home. What a wonderful place it is. But listen to me, please. If you have never trusted Christ, if you never looked to Christ as your only means of hope for heaven, you'll never make it there. It is not by good works. It's not by anything that you do, but rather what Christ did for you. Let me close by quoting a verse. Many of you know it by heart. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Christian, let's do this. Two things. Let's rejoice. We just spent the last 30, 35 minutes talking about the wonderful place God's prepared for you. One day you'll live there for all eternity. So let's rejoice. But many of you have loved ones that are not going. Hope that will motivate you to tell them about this wonderful place. Now, you cannot save. Only God can save. But it's our responsibility to share with them the good news. Amen? But if you've never trusted Christ, my friend, do it today. Heaven awaits those who do. But the alternative we talked about the last 2 weeks, the alternative to heaven is what? Hell. Hell is a real, literal place. God does not want people to go to hell, so he sent his son to save us from that place so we can go to heaven. Let's bow together, please. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we wrap up our service. This morning I've been speaking to those that know Christ to give you something to rejoice in, to look forward to be happy about. There's not much to be happy about in this world, but the world God's created for us, there's much joy and happiness and rejoicing there. So rejoice, my brethren. But if you're here today and you never trusted Christ, I would plead with you, please receive Christ as your Savior. He died on the cross to save you from a place called hell so you can go to the place called heaven. He sacrificed his life. He paid the price. He finished the work required of you to get there. Your job, your responsibility is by faith receive him as one who did that for you, to trust him to be your Savior. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, why not do it right now? Why not talk to God and place your dependence upon him to save you? And he will. If you do not know what to say, why not right now in the quiet of your own mind, talk to God, and maybe just say something like this as you talk to him. Just say, "Dear God of heaven, I acknowledge, I admit that I'm a sinner. And God, because I've sinned, I've earned, I deserve your punishment. But God, I believe Jesus, your son, was punished in my place. The judgment that I deserve, Jesus took upon himself. And I believe that Jesus died, was buried, and I believe he rose again. And right here today, I'm trusting Jesus to be my Savior, to forgive me, and to give me eternal life and make heaven my home." As heads are bowed, my friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, heaven now is your home. But I want to know if anyone did that today. I want to pray for those who made that decision. I'm not going to have you forward. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to embarrass you and put you on the spot. But I'd like to pray for those who made that decision today. So with heads bowed and eyes are closed, so no one can be put on the spot, if what I said made sense to you and you prayed with me to receive Christ as your Savior, right where you're at, with no one looking around, would you simply raise your hand real high and put it back down, indicate you did that today? You want it all? Pastor, here's my hand. I trusted Christ. Would you pray for me? You want it all this morning? Here's my hand, Pastor. Please pray for me. Father, I hope that means each one here has made that decision to trust Christ as Savior, and heaven is a prepared place because they've prepared themselves by receiving Christ as their Savior, and heaven is their home. But Father, I pray in the midst of all the heartache and sorrow and misery in this life, we'll rejoice in that place one day we'll go to that has no sorrow, no sickness. And Father, how we long for that place. But until that time comes, help us be found faithful in serving you, sharing Christ with others, and let people know, as the song we sang, may others see Christ in us and Christ in